Strange.
Invisible.
Energy.
Voice.
Guider.
Powerful.
Mysterious.
Waiting.
Present.
Holy.
Feeling.
Comforter.
Advocate.
Flame.
Witness.
Revealer.
Sealer.
Peacemaker.
Shield.
Ghost.
Dreamlike.
Breath.
Manifestation.
Tranquil.
Constant.
Dove.
Abstract.
Enigmatic.
Loving.
Supernatural.
Eternal.
Shapeless.
Invited.
Sacred.
Elevated.
God.
Well, good morning, Overflow Church. How are you doing this morning? Are you doing good? Man, I hope that you continue to be excited about what the Lord is doing in our church. I just feel like the Spirit of the Lord is doing some amazing things and he's stirring up things in us. And so I just want to give you really quick before we jump into the scriptures, just a place for you to kind of get your mind around as we dive in, is that we're going to be talking these next few weeks, we've been talking about who the Holy Spirit is and his job, but these next few weeks, we're going to be talking about the gifts, the sign gifts of the Spirit. And so for some of you, you may come from a background where either you never had those conversations, you didn't talk about them, they were scary. Those are for like the crazy people. And for some of you, you may come from a background where you're like, yeah, I'm all about it. And this is what I'm going to ask you to do for me today. And for the next couple of weeks, would you suspend those ideas and maybe look at the scriptures fresh? Would you let the scriptures shape your mind and your thoughts as we engage with the text? And I think the Holy Spirit may give you a new revelation on what you have maybe seen before. Fair? All right, awesome. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. Would you stand for the reading of God's word? This is what the scripture says. Follow the way of love. Eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit, but the one who prophesies speaks to the people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather you have prophecy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you that your Spirit has already been meeting us in such a unique and beautiful way. I ask, Lord, now that you would move. And Lord, just keeping us in that spirit of how you've been moving in our church, I ask that you wouldn't just be moving here at Overflow, that you'd be moving all across our region, Father. We pray for churches in Coloma, in Stevensville, in St. Joe, in Fairplane, in Benton Harbor, in Waterfleet, in South Haven, all around us. That you would be moving, that the gospel would be proclaimed, that you'd be stirring up affections for you in this space. We pray, Father God, that we would be people of the kingdom and not our kingdom. So now I pray, Lord, in your precious and loving name, that you would move. I pray, Father God, this wouldn't be more head knowledge for us to understand ideas about you, but this knowledge would move from head to heart, heart to hands and feet, calling us to respond how you desire for us in this season. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. A couple weeks ago, maybe a little bit over a month ago, there was a man by the name of Joshua Mulaki. You may not know that name, you may not recognize him, but for a brief moment, he actually went viral. He went viral because he heard from the Lord and he prophesied the day and the time of the rapture. He said that on September 23rd and 24th, that Jesus was going to come and take his church. And so, this may not be a big deal for you, but for a lot of people, it was a really big deal because, man, this conspiracy theorists got out their pens and papers and they started connecting dots and strings and all of these things seemed to line up to literally the point where people started believing. And what started off with this small prophet in South Africa, or the so-called prophet in Southern Africa, turned into this movement where people were literally selling their houses, giving away their cars, because the rapture was happening on September 23rd and 24th. Now, I want to pause for a second because I don't quite understand, if there is such a thing as a rapture, why do I actually have to sell my house? I won't be there. I don't. Nobody asked those questions. But this thing caught legs. And then all of a sudden, you know, and it goes viral, there's the haters online. And so they're online and saying, it's not going to happen. And so people were asking, well, wait a second. I live in Asia. So is it going to be the 23rd on Eastern time zone? Or some people literally, I kid you not, bought tickets, plane tickets, so that they would be closer to Jesus in the air. You laugh. But as you can tell, because you know the date, the 23rd and the 24th came and it went. And then you would think that this guy would hide, or he would come out and say, I'm sorry, I misrepresented God. He actually doubled down. He said, wait, I was right. I heard from God. Here was the thing that I didn't understand. There was a different calendar. So it's still the 23rd and the 24th, but on that calendar, on the ancient calendar, it's actually October 17th. And then that came, and then it went. And then he just has now recently said, wait. All the calendars are corrupted. See, the bigger issue that I have, more than anything, is that he said, God said. He said, God said, and I kid you not, his exact words, I am 1,000,000,000% sure that God said. And with that, he took the name of the Lord in vain. He misrepresented God. If you've been around the church for a little while, you've probably run into crazy stories like this, where people have said that they have the gift of prophecy. They're quote unquote prophets, and they say things, and they say, thus saith the Lord, and they misrepresent God. And so as soon as I read that scripture, some of you were like, oh my God, I just came for the dedication. It's about to get crazy. This dude's gonna start slinging olive oil, and somebody with a ram's horn is gonna come up on the stage and start blowing trumpets, right? Or some of you were like, yes, come on. Come on, somebody. I've been waiting for this moment. The problem is, we all have our preconceived notions of the way that the Spirit moves and the way that the Spirit gives gifts and what that means. And so passages like this, again, either cause us to dive deep into the scriptures or push them over to the side, and either can be insufficient if we are disconnected from the body. The problem is that we are all infatuated with the Spirit, but none of us know what to do with the Holy Spirit. This is the reason why we started off this sermon series in John chapter 12 and John chapter 14, is because I wanted us to have a foundation of what Jesus says the role of the Holy Spirit is and who the Holy Spirit is. In John chapter 12, verses In John chapter 12 and John chapter 14, remember what he says. Jesus says, it is good for me that he had to go so that the Holy Spirit would come. And that the Holy Spirit would be the advocate. He would be our guide. He would lead us in all truth. So what is that truth? And how would he lead us? Because that us is not just us individually, but it's also us collectively. It is his church. It is his body. And so, if we're not careful, the church and the body will take these gifts that God, the Holy Spirit has come to lead us and to guide us, and we will turn it upside down, and we could possibly find ourselves like Prophet Joshua Malachi. I guarantee you there's people in your, right now as I'm saying that, in your mind, you're like, yeah, I know people who have misrepresented God. And see, this is not just a new thing that happened. This actually happened in the church before. In fact, it happened on a large scale in the church in Corinth. The church in Corinth, the context of where we are reading, where this letter was written, it was one of Paul's most gifted churches. At the same time, it was one of Paul's most divided church communities. Corinth was this wealthy, diverse, and morally chaotic port city in ancient Greece, known for trade and philosophy and immorality. When Paul plants this church, we're told in Acts chapter 18, it quickly grows, and all of a sudden the Spirit is moving and it's bubbling and they're seeing miracles. There's people speaking in tongues. They're being prophetic. But the problem is, right, it is filled with people who don't understand what is going on, because most of them were Gentiles. That word Gentile just means they were not ethnically Jewish. And so they were new to this movement of who the Spirit is. And so they tried to wrap the Spirit up and what the Spirit was doing in their pagan rituals and tradition. And so they utilized the movement of the Spirit, right, as a means to move up the social ladder. Who could speak in tongues more was the most gifted. Who could prophesy more was the most gifted. Who could heal more was the most gifted. And if you remember last week, here's the scary part. The Spirit was moving even though they were destructively behaving in that early church. Just like I talked about last week, we can be, God can bless what we're doing and also simultaneously not even be anywhere near us. This church was moving in this spiritually charged way. So Paul writes this letter to this richly talented church to use their gifts, here it is, for the benefit of the whole body of Christ. This is a theme that I want you to lock in your minds. Not for selfishness. He begins by communicating that the body of Christ is the most important thing, that we are many parts but one body. He gives these analogies in 1 Corinthians that, like, there's the finger, there's the eye, there's the nose, at the mouth. But here it is, right? Like, all of them are part of the body, and we can't say that, like, it works best by itself. All of it has to work together in concert for the body to operate fully. And he's begging this church, which is like, I am more important, and I am more important, and I have this gift that was misbehaving with the gifts that Jesus had given to build up the church. So, how do we get to chapter 14? Chapter 12 talks about Jesus' richly gifted body, which has been given gifts. Really quickly, go with me to chapter 12, verse 1. I didn't even do this in first service, but you guys are my special service. This is what it says. It says, now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord or accept by the Holy Spirit. Remember what I was saying, right? They were using the Spirit the way that they used to use him when they were non-believers. Verse 4, There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to teach to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To the one, there is even through the Spirit a message of wisdom, or another a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between the spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still another, interpretation of tongues. All these are at work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. What is he saying there? That God has given gifts to the church for the church. He is giving gifts to the church for the church so that it could be more like Jesus in the world. This is the promise that the Spirit would come and he would lead us into all truth. How does he do that? By giving everyone in the church gifts, not just one person who stands on a pulpit. Are you with me? So, if God has given these gifts, how are we supposed to respond? The first thing that we need to do, right, is to say, okay, these gifts are these signed gifts of the Spirit. Now, I reeled off a ton of gifts to you, but maybe just so I can condense it and make it more palatable, you can think about the gifts in kind of three big categories. The gifts to say, the gifts to do, and the gifts to know, right? It's not the exhaustive list. I read them, and even the list that I read are not all of them, but basically, the gifts to say are prophecy, tongues, and interpretation. The gifts to do are healing, miracles, and faith. And the gifts to know are discernment, knowledge, and wisdom. Again, here's the problem. People start saying, my gift is greater than your gift. And what they forgot was that the gifts were for who? The whole body. Where everyone can flourish. Everyone can receive what God is doing in the life of the church. And Paul says something like this. He says, I want you, right, to desire the greater gifts. We just read that. That the greater gifts are prophecy. Some scholars think that when Paul talks about the two greater gifts, it would be the apostles. But to be an apostle, you had to have seen Jesus with your own eyes. So that obviously wasn't for everyone. But there's something else. There's a shift here when he says the greater gift is that prophecy. Why? Because prophecy was to help the church understand God's word. To understand what God was saying and doing. So I want you to think about this. There is the gift of prophecy, which is for the whole church, which happens sometimes from a pulpit when I am literally, here it is, speaking God's word to you. And there's a gift of prophecy, which is for the individual, but always goes to building up the whole body and the church. The problem is that people have tried to capture and reimagine this thing and taken it away from the scripture. And so right now, one of the biggest movements that is going viral throughout the church is someone can literally get on the internet and call themselves a prophet and people run to them. Here's the only problem. The gift of prophecy is for the church. It is a very dangerous thing if someone calls themselves a prophet and they don't belong to a local church. It's actually unbiblical. There are people that I have known whose families have been decimated because they've followed some strange person who doesn't want to submit to the body of Christ. Here, hear me out. I'm not saying submit to the person, the pastor. I am not the body of Christ. Whoever your pastor is not the body of Christ by themselves. The body of Christ is everyone who is gathered together in the name of Jesus, right? Who doesn't want to be held accountable by the body of Christ. I know people that literally their families have been destroyed, marriages harmed, One person whose spouse literally left the husband and children and went to go live at this so-called prophet's house. I'm saying this for a reason, because for whatever reason, in the world today, we have all this confusion and we think we want answers. And so we go off and we run off to these, what we call spiritual leaders, who are not submitted to the body of Christ and his word. I love when I was growing up, my dad used to tell stories like this. He would say, beware of parking lot prophets. Those are the kind of people who say, hey, come over here. I got a word for you. Again, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with sharing what God has said. But if it's not connected, if it's not tethered to God's word, beware of that. So, Paul says, desire the greater gift, which is the gift of prophecy. So what is this gift? How does this gift come? The gift of prophecy comes from the direct leading of the Holy Spirit. It is the direct leading of the Holy Spirit as it gives animation and wisdom and answers to what is happening in our community, in our world. Prophecy is specifically a direct word from God. So we have to be careful. We can't just say, this is what the Lord is saying, because you're misrepresenting God. In fact, when I was younger, in my early 20s, I was working at this church. I was on staff at this church, and I was like, man, serious about prayer. And I remember we would pray in this house, this parsonage across from the church, before early in the morning. And I would pray and I would pray, and we would pray with all these leaders and elders in there. And I was just like asking God to move in revival. And it was awesome. And it was powerful. And so other people started to come around. And at one point, this young lady started to come around, and she would pray. So one day, the pastor came to me with a smile on his face, and he says, hey, Elijah, I have some news to tell you. You know that young lady who's been coming to our prayers before church on Sunday? I was like, yes, sir. He said, well, she has a prophetic word for you. She said that the Lord told her that you will be her husband. I just want to let you know that wasn't Janie. It was like... He said she saw you, and she had this like vision as you walked into the room last Sunday, and she heard the voice of the Lord, and she says, this is what the Lord is saying, Elijah, you will be her husband. Well, here's the only thing. I overslept that last Sunday. I didn't even walk. I wasn't even there. Prophecy is the direct word from God. We do a disservice to God and his kingdom when we allow funny feelings that are inside of our gut to become prophecy. Hello, somebody. Have you ever been there? When we try to manipulate people, or you see people being manipulated by a so-called word from God, if it's not tethered to the scripture, it is not prophecy. It is not connected to God's heart. Secondly, it doesn't need any interpretation. Its meaning is clear and direct. That's the way that it was in the Old Testament. That's the way that it was in the New Testament. And that's the way that it is now. That it is clear that God is speaking. It is for the edification of the whole body to worship God. Not to worship the person who's delivering the words, but to actually worship God. That word edification literally means to build a house. It's to strengthen someone's faith, to encourage them towards Christ, and to build them up to grow spiritually mature. That's what prophecy is for. I love the way Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann says it. He says, prophecy is to tell the truth in a society that lives in illusion, to grieve loss in a society that practices denial, and to express hope in a society that lives in despair. The people of God are called to be an alternative culture that offers a different way of being human together. That actually, when we are living in that space, that all of us here are building each other to see the devices of the enemy that are trying to disrupt and destroy the unity of the church, and to see how we can reach the world. It cuts through the noise. It is an integral gift to the body of Christ. So, I know what your next question is. If that's the case, right, and prophecies for the church, does everyone have access to the gift of the Spirit? And here's the answer. Yes and no. It's yes and no, right? Because here it is. Yes, we all have access to the gifts of the Spirit, like the gift of prophecy, but no, not all of us are going to have the same gifts. So access to the gift is that some people in this room may have that gift operating in their lives. And so we have access to it because as the body of Christ, we get to see that gift at work with us. But we shouldn't feel bad. We shouldn't turn into the church of Corinth where we're like, hey, this gift is better than another, because God is also equally giving you a gift for the edification, for the building up of the people of God. Like we should understand that God is at work in this whole body. And so here's the thing. This is the reason why we always say it. What does that mean? You don't get to be spectators. You have to be participators in what God is actually doing. And the problem is there's only one gift that's usually operating in the church, and that's the teaching gift. I will come and I will watch and I will see that gift at work operating. And I'll sit back. And all we've done is we become like the children of Israel. When the Lord said, hey, I want you to come and become this kingdom of priests, we're like, no, we like being a kingdom with priests. We're going to abdicate the gifts that God has placed uniquely in me as a follower of Christ. And I'm just going to sit and watch. Paul literally says in Romans, you are not allowed to do that. You belong to one another. You're actually failing the body if you're not actively participating and using the gifts, the Holy Spirit gifts that God has placed in you. You're failing the church. But here it is. So what does that mean? Okay, I have that gift. So that means I'm going to come now and disrupt the church. No. And let me tell you something. As long as I'm pastor at Overflow, that's not going to happen here, right? Like, the gifts of the Spirit are not chaotic. They're orderly because they are for the building of the church. In fact, next week we're going to be talking about the gift of tongues. And Paul says, hey, I would rather you have the gift of prophecy than even more so than the gift of tongues, because not everyone understands what is happening there, but everybody understands the clear direction of the Spirit. So prophesy, speak the truth and the life of God's word out loud so that the body can experience what is happening. This is the reason why it's called the greater gift. And my fear is as the Spirit is moving, we are stuck sitting on our seats. And listen, when I'm saying your gift activated, I'm not saying, hey, so that means now go and serve on some type of service team at our church. No, that's not what I'm saying. Serving at our church is awesome and good, and we need more people, especially in kids. Come on, somebody. But that's just an avenue in which that you use your gift. Your gift is to operate at all times, in all seasons, for the what? The building up, the edification of the body. Use your gift for the whole body of Christ. Don't sit on it. Use it for the whole body of Christ. And my prayer is that you would, that thing inside of you, man, that you would prophesy if that is your gift to the church and also to individuals. Listen, it doesn't always happen in a large setting. I'll give you an example. About 7-8 years ago, me and my wife were at a Denny's and we were sitting in that space, right? And like we're waiting for our food. And I remember just being in the space of just like, Lord, I want you to open up just words for me to speak to anybody that you want me to engage with. Now, I'll tell you very openly, I have other gifts that the Spirit has given me. Prophecy is not one of them. But Paul seems to seem like everybody can step into that space. And so as I'm hearing the voice of God, and I'm sitting there, there's a waitress that was just kind of walking back and forth from our table, and immediately I felt like the Lord was stirring up something in me, a word for me to say. And so then I started wrestling because I had prayed this prayer, and then God was like, okay, I'm gonna do it. And I'm like, oh, wait a second, God, wait. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to eat my, like, skillet here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if this is the time. And the Spirit just kept on pressing me. And pressing me, and I just stopped the waitress. I said, hey, excuse me, ma'am. I feel like the Lord is saying, and so, my name is Elijah. I'm a pastor, and I feel like the Lord is saying something to me, but if this doesn't align, please just ignore it. I want to pause real quick there. Do you see what I did? I made sure that I wasn't saying, thus saith the Lord, like, this is the thing, right? Like, we have to understand, right? Like, we have to be careful when we communicate that God is speaking. It's not that I don't have faith that God is speaking, it's that I do not want to misrepresent God. Are you with me? So I said to her, I said, I feel like the Spirit is saying to me that he has seen you crying. He has seen your weeping. And you've been far away from him, but he wants you to know that he loves you and he sees you and he's with you. Immediately. I'm talking about when it's like 10 a.m. in the morning, the restaurant is full, the lady just starts crying, boom, tears. And I'm like, oh man, I messed up, you know? And she literally has to run to the back of the room. And she's there just trying to get herself together and figure out everything that's going on. And I'm like, oh, I'm looking at Janie. I was like, man, I probably shouldn't have said that. And then she comes back and she starts telling her story and how thankful she was. All right. And here it is. She was a believer that had been moving away from the Lord. And for the edification of the body, because I was willing to hear and then speak what the Lord was saying at that moment, right? The body, the church was benefited. This is what I'm saying to you, church. When you're not operating with the gift that God has given you, when you're not open to what God can do in that moment, even though, right, you may not feel like equipped, God has sent the paraclete, the helper, the advocate to help you in that moment so that his body may flourish by the gifts that he has given for his church. Are you with me? That's the reason why Paul ends it off like this. Eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. Eagerly desire the gifts. Eagerly desire the gifts. I know that we love like church where we like get in the weeds and we're like breaking down the Greek and the Hebrew and we're knowing the context and all this other stuff. But here it is, church. If there is no power, if the Spirit is not at work, then all of this means nothing. This is just a glorified TED Talk. And here, I don't want you to come into these spaces and hear a good word, and then you go back out and you're not activated to the good work that God has placed in you. That it's more. Some of you have the gift of healing. Some of you have the gift of knowledge. Some of you have the gift of discernment. And when all these gifts are activated in the body, something happens. Because then when I am weak, a brother and sister who God has equipped for that moment can have a prophetic word and say, Elijah, keep on running because God has greater days in front of you. And so then the body is strengthened. When I'm sorrowful, when I'm sick, the problem, the reason why the world is the way that the world is right now is because, here it is, the church has not been activated. There's only been one or two gifts activated. God is calling us as a community to be activated to what God has for us. Stop sitting in these seats, dead as if you were back in your sin. God has raised you to new life and has poured the Spirit inside of you. God is calling you to so much more. So don't sit there. Eagerly desire the gifts. So what does that look like? I'm going to make it super practical. Four things. Here's how we can eagerly desire the gifts. Pray that the Lord would give you wisdom as to what gift you have, he has given you. Each one of you right here are sitting with a gift from the Holy Spirit for the edification of the body, for the building up of the church. Start praying. God, when's the last time you say, God, what have you called me for? What in me have you activated in me? Number two, train yourself to hear the voice of God. Part of the reason why a bunch of people get it wrong when they're trying to speak God's voice is because they haven't learned to hear. We're built up with a bunch of noise. We turn on our TVs, we have our music on, we're listening to all this other stuff, and some of us can't even sit in silence. God is always talking, but some, for whatever reason, we got competing noises. 5 minutes a day, just sit there and just like, God, what are you saying to me? What if we trained ourselves to hear? If I hadn't trained myself to hear, then someone in the body would not have received the gift that God had for them. And some church was not built up because of that. Train yourself to hear. Third, practice. Practice, practice, practice. As the Lord reveals the gift to you, use it. Use it. That leads me to the fourth. Be ready to be uncomfortable. Be ready to be uncomfortable. Right? When the Spirit is actively working in you, be ready to be uncomfortable. The Holy Spirit is a supernatural being which is entering into our natural reality. I'm not saying it's going to be chaotic, right? Don't take uncomfortability with chaos. That doesn't mean the first person that you see go pour olive oil all over their head. Are you here with me? Right? But it means be ready to be uncomfortable, that when the Spirit moves, it may happen in a way that you're not ready to understand or receive. But trust and believe, as long as it's tethered, here it is, to his word that is actively moving in your life. So, just like we did last week, we're going to spend 1 minute. We're going to spend 1 minute not just hearing these things, right? Are you with me? But we're going to participate in what I believe the Spirit is doing. 1 minute. I just want you to pray this prayer. Holy Spirit, what gift have you placed inside of me for your church? And Lord, help me if I have hidden it to be activated for your glory. That's the prayer. That's the prayer. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? And I just want you to start praying right here and right now. Lord, what gift, Lord, have you placed inside of me for your kingdom, for your church? If it's been buried, would you activate it? Activate it. Lord, I just see all these people in this space right now, Lord, being activated. Lord, we're asking for revival. Revival starts in our hearts. Starts in us. We want to see this world, this church, this community just burn with the fire of your Holy Spirit. We want to see dry bones come back to life. We want to see addiction fall. We want to see marriages healed. But Lord, it cannot sit on the gifts of one person. It has to be the whole body. So I pray right now, in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, that you are activating people right here, right now, in these seats. And Lord, that we would sing that song that we used to sing as children with certainty. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. That we would shine with your power and grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, church. Today is Communion Sunday. The third Sunday of every month, we come together and we take communion. This is also an equal gift given to the body of Christ. And so, really quickly, I want to lead us in this time of communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 27 says this, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord." The church in Corinth is who Paul writes this letter to, for them to remember. Before we take of the bread and the cup, I shared this in first service and I want to share it again. Some of you may be dealing with anger. You may be dealing with anger and unforgiveness. This is my prayer, that in this moment you would give it to God. You would release whatever may be holding your heart tight and come to the table of the Lord with expectation for healing and renewal. So, as you take the bread and you drip the cup, if that's you, would you just take a second and just say, "Lord, here I am. I may not have all the answers, but I'm asking you to help me release what has been holding me back." And as you do that all over this room, take that step. His body broken for you, his blood poured out for you. These are the gifts of God, or the gift people of God. Amen.